Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we're going to talk about this topic, the second coming of Christ. We know that Christ came the first time, right? The perfect one of heaven, the second person of the Trinity, became flesh and dwelt among us, right? And that was 2,000 years ago. That's the first coming or first advent of Christ. And the Bible's very clear that Christ is going to come again. This time, he's not coming to, you know, go to the cross and be a lamb who was led to the slaughter. No, he is coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will come for his own people whom he has saved, and he will judge, because he is the just judge, those who have chosen to laugh at him, to reject him, and to want nothing to do with him. So we know Scripture is very clear. Just as Christ came the first time, he is coming again, a second time. Now, when is that going to happen? And there are all kinds of people, well-meaning people, who are trying to figure out the month, the day, the hour when Christ will come again. But you know what? Those people are completely wasting their time. Well, Andrew, that seems a little harsh. No, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to be biblical. Yeah, here in Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus makes it clear about his second coming. He says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son. Referring, obviously, to his human nature, right? Obviously, his divine nature, he knows. He says, but only the Father alone knows. So, we could sit here on earth and come up with all kinds of speculative ideas. We can try to search the Bible and look underneath the literal meaning of the text for all kinds of symbolic or maybe symbolic meanings or secret codes or whatever that may be. And we can come up with all kinds of ideas as to the time and even the hour when Christ will come again. But Jesus says, you're wasting your time. This is not even the angels of heaven, though. So it's not our business to know the exact day and hour when Christ is coming. We know he is coming. Again, he's saying that very clearly here, right? But Jesus also had something else to say about his second coming. Verse 42. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, Jesus said, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man, Jesus, referring to himself, that's his favorite self-designation in the Gospels, referring to his deity here, back to Daniel chapter 7, it says, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you don't think he will. So, second coming of Christ, the very words of Christ, he says, I'm coming back. He says, you're not going to figure out when. He says, but I am coming, and I'm going to come in an hour when you don't expect. So be on the alert. What's he talking about? Well, the first thing, obviously, he's talking about making sure that he is your Savior. that by God's grace, you have repented of your sins and you have put your faith and trust in Christ alone for forgiveness of sins, for the free gift of eternal life. You got to be ready. He can come back before I even finish this mini message. Are you ready? Do you know that you have been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? Because when he comes back, and it's clear he's coming back, when he comes back, that's it. There's no second chances. There's no purgatory, halfway house where you kind of, you know, you're not in heaven, you're not in hell. You kind of have to just be in this place of purging until eventually, you know, you can get your way out of there, or somebody can help pay and pray your way out of there. So such thing as purgatory. So when Christ comes back, that's it. No second chances. Are you ready? Is Jesus Christ your Lord, your Savior? But Jesus also says something very interesting here. For those who are his, Jesus says, you better be on the alert, you better be ready. Well, what do you mean, Jesus? Verse 45, who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Jesus is using an analogy here, talking about himself. He came the first time to secure salvation for the elect, and he has entrusted to his people gifts, responsibilities, opportunities. And Jesus says, when I come back, am I going to see somebody who is a faithful and sensible slave who is busy about my business? Jesus says, blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master's not coming for a long time. This person is obviously showing that he's not a true born-again believer. He may have professed faith in Christ, but he doesn't truly possess faith in Christ. He's not coming for a while. Well, this guy, he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with drunkards. Then the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour when he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him to a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's hell. And Jesus is not talking about a truly born-again believer losing his or her salvation here. No. He's talking about a person who may be professed, as I said, faith in Christ, but who never truly possessed it. Their outward action showed it. And therefore, their only eternal destination is hell. So, the second coming of Christ, what have we learned so far? Oh, he is coming. Just as he came the first time, he's coming a second time. What else did we learn? You're wasting your time if you're trying to figure out the exact time he's coming, right? He says he's going to come in an hour when nobody expects. Third thing we learned, you better be ready. You better know that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And if he is your Lord and Savior, you better be busy when it comes to his business. Because when he comes, and you're still alive here on earth, Christian, you don't want to be ashamed at what he sees you doing. Be busy about his business, bringing glory to his name. You see, I think a lot of times people are so busy speculating as to Christ's second coming, they're focusing on the wrong things. And as a result, they're not alert and they're not ready. How many times have you heard or read, especially in our recent past, where various different groups of people have proclaimed with 100% certainty the exact day, the exact hour of Christ's second coming? And they have caused even other people to get nervous and get in an uproar. And the day and the hour came and went, and Christ hadn't come back. Why? Because no one knows the exact hour and day. But we know he is coming, right? And like I said, you better be ready And as a born-again believer, you better be busy about his business, right? Because you want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, there are different views within the evangelical movement when it comes to the second coming of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is one of the top passages in all of the New Testament talking about Christ's coming and also talking about Christ gathering or his church, his people to himself. It's called the rapture. And 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 through 18 and 1 Corinthians 15 are kind of your two premier or companion passages in the New Testament. They talk about the second coming of Christ, talk about our being gathered together with Christ. And we'll just look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Paul was talking to the Christians in Thessalonica who were confused about the second coming of Christ. There were believers in that church who were dying. Christ hadn't come back yet. And these poor young believers in Thessalonica are going, what happened to those who died in Christ? And what's going to happen to us? And so Paul addresses that here. In verse 13, he says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who have died in the Lord, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. Paul's not forbidding grieving. When a loved one dies, of course you're going to grieve. Recently, my father-in-law was taken home to be with the Lord. And of course that's painful. I wish he were still here with us. But my grieving, my wife's grieving, my wife's family's grieving is not the same type of grieving as compared to those pagans who have no hope of eternal life. For though we do grieve the loss of my father-in-law, at the same time we rejoice because we know to be away from the body is to be home with the Lord. So Paul is not forbidding grieving here. He's just simply saying, don't grieve like those who have no hope. And then Paul went on to say, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we do believe, even so, God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, those who have died. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, referring to the second coming, we will not precede those who have fallen asleep. We will not get our new glorified bodies before those who are dead in Christ. They will be raised up first. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. Then the dead in Christ, like my father-in-law, right? Soul comes back, new glorified body, he'll rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. Caught up, Latin word raptura. It's where we get our word rapture. We will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. And that's why Paul said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Not one of the elect will be forgotten. Not one of the redeemed will be lost. Not one of the regenerated will be left behind, right? No. Christ will come back and Christ will gather to himself his people. First those who died in Christ and then those who are still alive at the coming of Christ will be gathered together with the dead in Christ and we will be with the Lord forever. Now, that's very clear. The rapture, right? Christ comes, he brings to himself, raptures his people. Now, there is a debate as to the time of the rapture. Now, just to keep it very basic and very simple at this point, and if you want to know more details, you can go to in the middle right now, in fact, of a teaching here on 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. And that'll probably be at least a 5 to maybe 8-part series talking about the second coming of Christ and the rapture of the people of Christ. And I'm going to go slowly through that teaching to show the various different views. But just to summarize right now, again, all truly born-again, Bible-believing Christians believe in the rapture because it's very clear that the church, God's people, will be raptured, taken away. The question is when. Now, there's a teaching out there, and again, wonderful people of God who teach that there's going to be a literal 7-year tribulation where the Antichrist will reveal himself. Pretty much all hell will break loose for 7 literal years until Christ comes back, puts an end to that, and then Christ ushers in a literal 1,000-year millennial reign where Christ will literally, physically sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem during this 1,000-year millennial. There will be an ingathering of the Jews back to Jerusalem. Physical Israel will be restored, and God, in his grace, will be saving Jews at that time. At the end of that period, you'll have the great apostasy. Christ will then judge Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Christ will usher in the new heavens and the new earth. But why am I telling you this? Well, those who believe in this literal 7-year tribulation say that the church, which is primarily made up of Gentiles at this point, that the church will be raptured out prior to this 7-year tribulation. And those people who hold to that teaching believe in what is called pre-tribulation rapture. The church will be caught up, raptured up, as it says here in 1 Thessalonians 4, will be raptured up prior to the 7-year tribulation. After that tribulation, the Lord comes back, we come back with him and enjoy that millennial reign. Okay? So that's one teaching. Another teaching says, well, no, there's not a literal 7-year tribulation. What they say is, from the first coming of Christ to his second coming, whenever that is, no matter how long of a period that is, they say that this entire period is a period of tribulation that believers, both Jews and Gentiles, will have to experience. And they say that the tribulation will get worse and worse as we get closer to the second coming of Christ. They also say that during this period, from the first and second coming of Christ, that Christ is ruling and reigning, not literally in Jerusalem on a physical throne for a literal 1,000-year period. They say, no, he is literally, or he is ruling and reigning on the throne of the hearts of believers. So he is spiritually ruling and reigning, right? And that millennial period is not a literal 1,000 years. They say it is symbolic for the time between the first and second coming of Christ. And again, believers, they say, will go through the tribulation. When is the rapture going to occur that Paul talks about here in 1 Thessalonians 4? Well, they say when Christ comes back his second time, that's it. Game over. That's when he judges Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet. That's when he judges non-believers. And that's when Christ also, at that point, after the tribulation, not a literal 7, but that period between the first and second coming of Christ, they say that Christ then will take his people to be with him, then usher in the new heavens and the new earth. So they believe in what's called a post-tribulation rapture, right? And so, I'm not going to give you the answer on what's the correct answer right now. Because I just gave you a very brief, rather shallow explanation of those two views. Again, if you want to go deeper, you'll see the teaching up on YouTube of 1 Thessalonians 4. And again, there are some phenomenal, phenomenal theologians who have taught on this. And I would encourage you to listen to them. Got some phenomenal teachers like Dr. John MacArthur, Dr. Steve Lawson, Dr. Al Mohler, Dr. R.C. Sproul, Dr. Sinclair Ferguson. So there are some really great teachers out there. And by the way, I chose those names because I love to listen and to learn from those godly men. But it's interesting. within that group I just told you, you've got two opposing views about the second coming of Christ, about the rapture of the church. Some in that group believe in that pre-tribulation rapture, where they believe in a literal seven-year tribulation. The church will be raptured out prior to that. Others in that group, they believe in the post-tribulation rapture. They say it's not a literal seven-year tribulation. Tribulation period is the entire period between the first and second coming of Christ. He comes back, church is taken away. And so the reason why I say this is when it comes to the second coming of Christ, because it hasn't occurred yet, and because we see, and this, you know, Scripture is talking about something that hasn't yet happened. And as a result, we want to be humble in our hermeneutic when it comes to the second coming. I mean, look, if somebody differs with me when it comes to the second coming of Christ, when it comes to the rapture of the church, that doesn't make that person a heretic. And it certainly doesn't mean that I am absolutely correct. Now, there are obviously many things in the Scriptures that you could be dogmatic on, bull dogmatic on, right? If somebody disagrees with me when it comes to the deity of Christ, well, guess what? Oh, we're going to have a problem. If somebody disagrees with me when it comes to the inspiration and authority of God's word, we're going to have a problem. That's a deal breaker. But when somebody says, well, I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, or I believe in a post-tribulation rapture, I may or may not agree with that person, but it's okay, right? We want to try to faithfully study the Scriptures. We know that God is not, did not inspire confusion in His Word. And so we want to dig deep, study hard, pray for illumination. But we also have to understand that the second coming of Christ, because it hasn't happened yet, both groups have very valid biblical points. And unfortunately, what I see a lot of times in the church is people are not so aggressive, intense, when it comes to defending the deity of Christ, or the humanity of Christ, or the sovereignty of Christ, or the authority of the word of Christ. They're not so intense and aggressive and faithful in defending those doctrines, which are very clear in Scripture. Instead, they kind of let those things be under attack. And instead, they're just focused on speculation. We got to try to figure out this perfect system, the second coming of Christ. We've got to dig deep. We've got to go under the literal meaning. You can't do that. That's wrong. That's allegory. Well, we've got to try to fit in the system. There are secret codes. There are no secret codes in the Bible. In fact, I was invited a couple years ago. Danielle and I were invited to a dinner when we were back from Croatia. Really wonderful couple, born again believers who love the Lord, who love the word of the Lord. Yet got caught up in speculating about the book of Revelation, the second coming of Christ, who the Antichrist was. And to make a long story short, we're eating dinner, and all of a sudden the person says to me, I have figured out the book of the Revelation. I know about time Christ is coming back. I know when the Antichrist is going to show. In fact, I even know who the Antichrist is. And he proceeded to pull out his Bible, and I'm sitting there trying to be nice and respectful. We're at his house, you know, and he started to show me how the current president of the United States, not the one who's current now, but prior to him, was the Antichrist. I'm just like, hey, you guys have dessert? I was just trying to be nice, you know, but that's an example of just taking this way too far. And we don't want to do that. Here's what we know. Christ is coming back. That is clear. We also know that we won't know the exact day and hour. That's crystal clear. We also know that Christ warns us, be on the alert, be prepared. That's crystal clear. But when it comes to pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, millennial reign, amillennialism, so forth, we want to be humble, and we don't want to get caught up in speculation. Here's what we do know. Christ's second coming will be personal. It will be visible. It's not going to be a local coming. It's going to be a universal coming. His coming will be personal. It will be visible, and it will be glorious. As I conclude Revelation chapter 1, very clear. Verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. You know, those who go, uh-oh, we blew it. But as believers, we're not going to mourn. We're going to rejoice. Our Savior, our Lord, is coming for us. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.